So a lesson, or the lesson, is that supposing leads to presumption, not a good thing in Scripture. Presumption cancels out diligence and duty. Cancels them right out. I don't have to. Somebody else did it. That's where they were. Well, he's with one of the other relatives. He's never done anything like this before. The kid's always obeyed. He's always done what we've told him to do. We told him, meet with the caravans leaving at 6 o'clock. Be there. Or whatever time.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please join us as we study the Gospel of Luke verse by verse. When Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem after the Passover, they supposed that Jesus was with them among their large company. However, they discovered to their torment that Jesus was still in the city. Pastor Rick warns us today that we too can make wrong assumptions and therefore must remain sensitive to the Lord's purposes and plans. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, with today's study.
The Lord never says, "Blessed are the ignorant in my word." And thank God that he does not. One more verse, John chapter 1. We all know this. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, the incarnation. And then he continues, and we beheld his glory. We saw it. That's what John is saying. In 1 John, it says we touched him. We actually touched him. And then he says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the grace that we have, again, is not license to sin. It's license to obey in love, in truth, in spirit. They go together. And anybody who preaches any other grace is not preaching the grace of the New Testament. In verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Now, Luke mentions, he's the only one of the gospel writers that mentions every stage of Christ's life, from a babe in verse 16 of this chapter to a little child in verse 40, as a boy here in verse 42, and then later, of course, as a man. Now, at 13, a Jewish boy would be a son of the law, or the son of the commandments, bar mitzvah. And he was 12. He was already ready for that. And usually, according to their culture, at 12, they would begin, you know, ramping up and getting it prepared for this. I don't know if you've ever been to a bar mitzvah, but it's kind of tough to watch those lads struggle with the Hebrew. They have to recite a scripture verse that they know nothing about usually. And they have to do it in Hebrew. It's really cheating because they've got, you know, their father there and the rabbi and they're helping them. I want to say, hey, you're not supposed to do that. But anyway, swiftly escorted out and beaten severely. Anyway, this is about the part of what's going on there. And to this day, you go to Jerusalem, and almost every day you go to Jerusalem, somebody's having a bar mitzvah. Somebody's laid down some big bucks, and their drummers are beating those bongos like they stole something from them, and they're singing all that. They're dancing like David with all their might, and they're just chanting, and it's a beautiful sight. It really is. You want to say, but you don't know Jesus. And again, that beating I was talking about would then take place. They have a, you know, on the Temple Mount by the Weeping Wall, the Wailing Wall, they have this round thing, looks like a buoy or a, it's this round thing with a thing, a hole, a door on it. And it's silver and it's just up there. That's for where you put bombs. When they find bombs, they can put them into that. And it's like contains them. Like, I don't know if they still, anyway, that's not what I was after. I don't remember, except if you get out of place up there, they'll stuff you in that thing with a bomb. But verse 43, and when they had finished the days, they returned. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Ooh, story's getting good now. What kind of dopey parents are you? You know, that's certainly not Well, let's open it up. Again, 8 days in all, observing the feast of Passover, the festival of Passover and the feast of unleavened bread, about 8 days while you were celebrating the Passover meal, the lamb, feast of unleavened bread, would begin for the next 7 days. And so collectively, they became known as the Passover. And so spoken of, so that all the males were required to be in Jerusalem for the Passover. Joseph is certainly obeying this and not just going home, staying there for the entire feast. Verse 44, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now we have to stop there. Most of you know the story, so that will help me break it up a little bit. Now, it's probably a 3 or 4 day journey from Nazareth, where they are now, where he's at 12 years old now, coming to Jerusalem and back. It's not a little trek. They would not go through Samaria. They would go, of course, by way of Jericho, which is where they probably realized that he wasn't there. Roll call, they couldn't find him. They're in a caravan. There's a lot of people. It's not a Dodge caravan, but it's a caravan with camels, people, and this. For protection, for joy. You have all of the pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem to celebrate God's deliverance of them from the bondage in Egypt. Now, Egypt's a type of that old life. And God delivers us from the old life when we come to Christ. But there's warfare involved in this, as it was for the Jews. You get a few freebies, as the Jews got, the sea opening up, the Pharaoh's army being squished, and then, you know, but man, there was a lot of war left ahead of them, and so it is for us. But in supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances, verse 45, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So you mean to say that we may be in touch with our Lord today and lose him tomorrow? Is that one of the applications from this lesson? Absolutely. You may think Jesus is with you because, oh, I'm a Christian. I made a confession of faith. But you're not doing anything with it. Is he with you? So we may lose him without at first being aware of our loss. You may go, how many people have come to this church thinking they were Christians? And then they hear the verse-by-verse teaching. They hear the scripture just being read out for what it says. And the Holy Spirit ministered to them. Next thing you know, they're up there with the pastors wanting to give their life to Christ. Or can I get rebaptized? Or so, and because they've been going all this time without him. How many simply go with him singing and that's as far as they go? They don't do anything else. This seems to be convicting you if you're guilty. It should be hitting you right in the chest. Boom! But we get good at absorbing the conviction instead of being absorbed by it. We get good, I heard that before. Here he goes. Here's the pastor going with the part about me not being dedicated. And the nervous part for me is that the dedicated ones feel like they're being convicted. You're not. You're being exhorted. It's the ones that know who they are time and time again could stand in front of Jesus and say, yep, I did nothing but complain and whine and fuss and sleep and make a mess for everybody else. Well done, good faithful servant. And so Mary, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. What kind of mother are you? How far have we traveled on such a supposition? So a lesson, or the lesson, is that supposing leads to presumption. Not a good thing in Scripture. Presumption cancels out diligence and duty. Cancels them right out. I don't have to. Somebody else did it. That's where they were. Well, he's with one of the other relatives. He's never done anything like this before. The kid's always obeyed. He's always done what we've told him to do. We told him, meet with the caravans leaving at 6 o'clock. Be there. Or whatever time. Verse 45, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Could you imagine the look on their faces? Talk about frantic. They, again, probably 15 miles from Jericho, had to wait the next day, leave in the morning, finally get there, spent the day looking for him, could not find him. And then the next day, in the morning, likely found him in the temple. That's probably how it went. Verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Oh, man. Could you imagine? You don't have to. You know what's happening here. The look on their faces, what they were going through. Terrified that somebody got to him and hurt him. That's like he'd never done this again before. It's not a little statement. This is unprecedented. This is not him. Something happened to him. And then they see him. The relief. Then comes. Then comes Mama. Well, they found him where they ought to have looked in the first place, right? God's house. Well, they were missing beats. Who would want to raise the boy Jesus? Well, is there a parent here? I'll take it. Father's Day. Yeah, right. You have it. I don't think I want. I can't. Look, I got kids that nothing like Jesus. All together, they're not. And they're hard to raise. And be a dad, too. Imagine Jesus Christ. When he disagrees with you, what do you say? So let's be easy on Joseph and Mary. So now he knows his father's business. It's not that of the village carpenter. It's that of the cross. It's that of the work of redemption. That bloody business of securing a judgment-proof salvation for anyone who wants it. He knows that now. That's why Luke's taking this story. The Holy Spirit says, I want you to put this in the book. Verse 47. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now later we'll read this. When they were sent to arrest him, the officers came back without him. And the leadership of Jerusalem, you know, the Sanhedrin, you know, and the officers answered, said, well, why didn't you arrest him? And here's what they said, verse 46 of John 7. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. I mean, it was just like, you could just see the look on their faces. It enraged them, not the men who said it. The men who sent them were enraged by this. Foiled again. They were, you know, like Dick Dastardly or something, forever you who know who he is, or, you know, Wile E. Coyote. When they were frustrated at failing with such a great plan, well, this was immensely bigger than that. Matthew 7:28, the people were astonished at his teaching, and so it went on and on and on, so much so that John said, I'd run out of ink trying to write these things down. There's no library that could hold all the things that he did, that it became so commonplace to go to the market and say, you're one of Jesus' followers? Let me tell you what he did for me. It just would be everywhere. Josephus writes about, you know, he was the governor in the Galilee area at this time. He writes, well, a little later to the ministry of Christ, he writes about how many people in cities and little villages, over 200 villages in that area, and 3 million people just in the Galilee area alone. And Jesus touched them all. That's why they were shocked on the road to Emmaus. Where have you been? You haven't heard this? They didn't know they were talking to the one who did it. In verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. What do you think her tone was? What could that face? She lost it. There's no way. Mary was not God. She could not keep that under control. Only the Lord could. This is a mother frantic for her child. And there he is alive and well. He's not going to be alive and well when I'm done. Not after what he put us through. And Joseph's like, what can I do? I mean, there's nothing I can do here. Call an angel down on me. That'd be bad. Remember, they were present members of the peasant class, Joseph and Mary. Honorary members, because they were truly royalty. But they had no money. And without money and miracles, you don't get far. So here they are, amazed that their child who is in that class is wowing the upper class rabbis of Jerusalem. What a picture. This is it's a miracle. For such a one as Jesus, this 12-year-old, I mean, where did he stay those 3 days? Very unlikely that he, you know, laid up in a corner somewhere. And one rabbi said, why don't you come home with me? That's no question to that. It's so easy to understand. He says, his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Now, it is his obedience to higher duties that caused him to appear disobedient. And his, you know, disobedience is willful. You know what you're doing, you know. He didn't find any problem with this. His understanding was that they understood. His understanding was, didn't you know the virgin birth thing, the angel, you know, who I am not. Why didn't you look here? Because he came into the realization. The Holy Spirit now brought him to the realization of who he was, and he expected them to be on board with this. But they didn't get the memo, as the saying goes. And so when she says, look, your father and I have sought you anxiously, that word anxiously is in torment. It's used elsewhere that way. And that's what he wants to say. It enlarges the nightmare of the past 3 days for us, the reader. Now, she was disappointed at what she considered thoughtless behavior. But really, she was the one not thinking. And there's no one to blame here. I mean, this is a loving mother. This is amazing. Verse 49, and he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Again, he didn't think this was a mystery. He turns it around, as Jesus did throughout his ministry, by just asking a question. I'm not good at asking questions to people that when the questions need to be asked. I'm better at just attacking them. Instead of just saying, well, why did you think that was wise? I say, well, you're stupid. So that's not good. And I've tried to fix that over the years, but it just comes out. It's the spirit. Spirit of error. But in pastoring, God has blessed me to be so patient. And I leave like, man, who was that guy sitting in there with them? That was the guy that knows that he's no better than anybody else. We won't linger on that. But I must be about my father's business. Literally, in the Greek, it says, I must be in the things of my father. The context of him being in the house gives the translators the license appropriately to say it. I must be about my father's business or in my father's house, as some translations have it. We're almost done. God is his father in a sense that is not true of anyone else, nor will it ever be true of anyone else. When it says, I am the only begotten son, there is no other. He comes from the Father. The Trinity, a portion of the Trinity stepping into humanity, something that no one else, no angel, no anything else can ever claim. Now, the first recorded words that fell from his lips are these words. He spoke of God as being his personal Father. Again, he only begotten son, he my father, unlike you. That is what is being said there. But also, the first time love is mentioned in the Bible, it is mentioned in the context of the father's love. Not the mother, not the comrades, not the church, not worship. It is mentioned in the context of the father's love. Because without that, there's nothing. And it is a truth that we have to get hold of. And so here, the first words of Jesus Christ recorded in Scripture are in the context of his relationship with his Father. Quite powerful. He says, I must be about application time. What am I about? If someone came up, it used to be a question in the Calvaries, it used to always be one of the standard questions when you hadn't seen someone for a while. What's the Lord doing in your life? I miss that. I miss people in the congregation just being so natural a part of their conversation that they did not feel out of place for asking it, and no one felt out of place answering it. Now, I don't want to try to pretend that yesterday was so much better than today. If today is worse than yesterday, that means we have a greater opportunity to do something. That's what it means. All of the perversity, all of the lunacy, all the stuff that's going out there, you can either look for your foxhole or send the other guy to the foxhole. You're either on defense or offense. Which one's it going to be? And when we are not doing anything, we are still on offense. We are still carrying the battle, hopefully, on our knees. But what am I about? What this is announcing to his parents is that his I must be about, he is announcing his life is uncluttered. He doesn't have distractions. This is what I'm about. This is who I am. This is my identity. Mary, I would love more than any of the other pictures of her face. I would have loved to have seen it at that moment. What did she do when he said that? The caravan's leaving. We can. It's time to go. Would you like chocolate? That's probably. I mean, what do you do if you like my wife? Anytime she goes to the store, the kid comes back with something. I mean, here's it. I'm not upset with it. I like the time he came back. What's that? A 9mm my mom brought me. It's pretty good, Dad. No, that's not going to happen. 6-year-olds and 9mm. A derringer, more like. But anyway, back to this. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Whew. What put us in that category? Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. So think of it. This is the eternal Son of God, fully aware of who he is and who they are, and he's going to die for them one day. Submitted to them. You got to be kidding me. He was subject to the village carpenter and a local peasant girl. His testimony was being laid out in front of everyone. So when he stepped into the pulpit in the synagogue and he preached from Isaiah, the best they could do, isn't this the carpenter's son? They couldn't say, isn't this like, you know, Lenny the hubcap stealer? There's no charge against them they could launch that made any sense. The best they could do was attack his parents. Well, according to the flesh. And he remained in that humble home, working as a builder for the next 18 years or so. Luke 2:19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And as I mentioned, the list was growing. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. His increase was due to the activity of the Holy Spirit. That's what was taking place. Am I increasing? See, these things leap out at the page. When I'm reading them, they come out to me. Am I increasing as he is? I'm supposed to be following him. I'm supposed to be perfect, and I'll never make it. But, oh, the fruit that comes from trying to be perfect. Not someone who is, you know, perfectionist. They just make other people sad they're there. You know, I mean, if you are a perfectionist, that's fine when you're working on your stuff. But when you start trying to get other people to get their stuff perfect, then you got a problem. Real quick story, I'm almost done on vacation. We don't have cable. I mean, I've got a cable on my lawnmower that used to pull it, but that's the most I've got. So we got to catch up on shows like the Food Network, you know, and Don't You Wish This Was Your House shows. those, I hate them. I hate them. It's like that whole spiritual material thing, you know. So we're watching this food, these little young chefs duke it out with who can make the best meal. And they're interviewing one of the kids. He's a pretty good cook. I mean, I didn't know what blanching things were at 10. And this kid is, anyway, he said, I looked over at her dish and it looked like something my little brother would make. She won the whole match. He lost. He got bumped out. I suppose it worked at it into the point. Oh, okay, I got it. So I don't have it. I just close it up. I really don't know what it was. Something about being perfect and you're going to mess up and don't judge the other guy. But anyway, I'm still hungry from that episode. I've not lost my appetite since. This is what Tozer said, A.W. Tozer. Really, really, this part of the quote. All Christianity offers is Jesus Christ the Lord and him alone. For he is enough. Your relation to Jesus Christ is really the all-important matter in this life. But we don't live like he's enough. We live like he said it, it's probably right, but I don't like it, or I want to ignore it, or I've tried it and I keep failing, so I'm not going to try it anymore. How that plays into Satan's hands. I'll close with this verse, 2 Corinthians, that passionate letter of Paul. The first one was correcting them, dealing with their junk. It was an irritated pastor, righteously so for the most part. But that second letter, it's his heart coming out to them. You know, we've loved you. We've not lied to you. You've tricked yourselves. He just opens up. He says, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You're one of those Christians that think that you just have to serve the Lord and no one has to see it. There's more to it. The men, the righteous, and even the lost who are honorable, as far as common grace goes, they will applaud the activities of the righteous.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through Luke's Gospel. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.